Smith, my friends call me Aunt Peggy, and I have some friends here from Jacksonville who have requested dry fry. You know, in South Carolina, we have all kinds of interesting people living up there, but one of our old friends up there that I heard about, his name was a preacher. An old preacher called Dry Fry. Now, Dry Fry loved fried chicken. He could smell fried, he loved fried chicken so much, he could smell it cooking 10 miles away and be there in 2 minutes flat. He loved fried chicken. Well, one day old Dry Fry was at a picnic, and he was just talking away and telling his story. And he was telling a story about going fishing one day and catching this big old fish and putting the fish on the side. All of a sudden, he sneezed. His teeth went flying out of his mouth, landed into a mud puddle in the pig pen. Yes. He didn't know he'd lost his teeth. And he said, but my shrimp, what happened by fish? I went fishing. And I cut that old fish and I put it on the side. And this little old cat in me, Johnson, Mr. Fry, you lost your teeth. You ain't got no teeth. Where's that my teeth? What are you talking about? I got teeth right there in my mouth. And that's the fish. I put him over here on the back of me, and I looked back, and there's this old snake had that fish in his mouth. Mr. Fry, you ain't got no teeth in your mouth. I ain't got no teeth in my mouth. So where my teeth go to? I mean, Mr. Fry, they fell over there. They fell over there in the mud puddle. Well, nobody wanted to reach down the mud puddle and pick out all those teeth. So little Sally Mae ran over to the picnic table and she picked up a piece of chicken leg and she held it over the water. All of a sudden, those old teeth jumped up and grabbed hold of that chicken leg. And he didn't do one thing in the world. He just popped those old teeth back in his mouth. And they just kept right on eating on that chicken leg. Well, after a while, he went to preach. And when they finally finished preaching, this old family comes up to so many women and said, Mr. Fry, come on home. You coming home with us now. We got some fried chicken at home for you. You didn't have to ask me why. Oh, Dry Fry, he just let Chuck out off of that church pulpit, and he followed that old couple home. He busted down the door, sat down at the kitchen table, tied the napkin around his neck, waiting for that fried chicken to hit the center of the table. She cooked five fried chickens.
And he ate it.
He just about. He loved it. He loved it. Right in the middle of the table, and he didn't do a thing in the world. He took that fried chicken and just pulled him over there in his own plate.
Did he wash his hands?
No, he didn't wash his hands. He didn't worry about that. He took a piece of chicken in this hand, piece of chicken in this hand, just eating away and throwing the bones on the floor, and the grease went running down his chin. Piece of chicken in this hand, piece of chicken in this hand, and the grease running down his chin. Well, into the fried chicken. Mr. Fry, remember, you dead? What? Oh, he's dead. He's dead. He ain't breathing. A piece of chicken got stuck in his throat. Oh, they gonna say I murdered him. We gotta get shed of the body. So they dragged him by his feet over next door neighbor, propped him up against the barn of the chicken coop. That he said all night long. Next morning, the old farmer comes out. Somebody's been stealing his chicken. There's that old farmer that's been stealing my chicken. Old woman, get me my shotgun. She got her the shotgun and she let go. He let go a barrel and that old man got full of holes. He fell down the ground. He went running over there and he said, now I'm going to see who's stealing my chicken. Oh, it's Brother Brad Fry. Sure enough, there he was. Piece of chicken in this hand. The grease are running down his chin. Well, I had to hide him until supper time. He threw him in the chicken coop, and that night he snuck out and pulled him out. And went back next door and propped him up against the next door neighbor's house. Next door neighbor came running out to get some water with the buckets in his hand. Went to the well to get some water, but he opened the screen door and his help fell Fry Fry. Oh, Lordy!
Ever seen in your life.
told me, he told people, he never let anybody come near his house. If you come near my house, you're going to be sorry. And he'd just as soon kick a dog as feed him. And when I die, don't you come near my grave. If you come near my grave, that's going to be the last grave you ever come near. Nobody comes near me. Any land of mine is mine. You stay away. Oh, Simon died. They buried him up there on the hill. He requested to be buried up there on the hill in the corner so he could make sure that nobody came near his grave. Strange thing about it, a mist seemed to rotate around his grave. A group of young people were at a dance one night, and they were all talking about Simon, how mean he was. I bet you won't go up there to his grave. You're scared to. I'm not scared, said Lila Mae Johnson. I'm brave. There's nothing up there anyway. You ain't gonna go up there, and you know you're not. Yeah, I'll go. Just watch me. All right, you gotta leave something if you go. I leave my scarf against his grave. The minute she walked out the door, she knew that she had no business doing this. She knew she had done something wrong. The nearer she got to the graveyard, the more she realized that she really wasn't that brave. But she made her way up to the grave. And when she got there, she said, Simon, you mean old man, I'm going to show you I'm not afraid of you. She took her scarf and she threw it over his grave. About that time, the moon went behind a cloud. And she knew she had done something she shouldn't have done. Then she started to leave, and as she started to leave, it was as if two icy hands were holding her back. She could not move. And the more she pulled, the more it pulled her back. And she kept pulling, and it pulled her back. She could not move. And the fear on her face, she began getting clammy. Her face turned white. And she was just didn't know what was happening. And she shook so hard, she finally the fear took hold of her, and she just collapsed in a heap on the ground. An hour passed, and she had not returned to the dance. Where is she? She's got to. No one knew where she was. They told the chaperones. They closed down the dance. They sent out search parties in groups of two. No one had to be by themselves. They sent for the authorities. They sent for her parents. Her parents came. No one could find them. Finally, they went to the grave. As they approached the grave, they saw it. A heap right by the grave. Her parents were beside themselves. She was their only daughter. And as they went up to the grave to look at her and to pick her up, her face was chalky white. There was such fear on her face. They had never seen such fear in their lives. They went to pick her up in tears. And as they did, she opened her eyes, and her eyes were like as if they were going to come out of her head. She was so frightened, she began screaming and screaming. And they said, honey, you're all right, you're all right. And as they picked her up to move her, that's when they realized that it was like a brown hand holding on to her clothes, her skirt. And what it was, they realized it was a root of a tree in the shape of a hand that had caught her dress as she started to run. And that's what happened to the girl who threw her scarf on the grave of old Simon Green.